So we're going to start with Mike L. Mike has attended the Saturday Grace Methodist meeting and the Smoky Hills meeting. He's a member of Intergroup and is here to share his story.
All the electronics, let me get the speaker right. I'll just hold it like this. Hi, I'm Mike. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mike.
I'm trying out new software on this thing. I just got it, so bear with me if we have problems. What I want to do is tell my story, but I also have something I'm going to read out of one of my favorite pieces of literature a little bit later on. And I'm just really grateful to be here. One of the things I know about OA is that we're all equals. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean I'm anybody's different than anybody else. And I don't believe in qualifying. I think that we're all qualified. The only reason we're here is because we want to be free of the compulsion of overeating. And so I'm going to tell you some of my story just because it's my story and it's who I am, but I'm not trying to qualify myself. I grew up in a house in Arizona in a house that really didn't demonstrate love. I cannot remember my father ever saying he loved me until I was getting on the plane to go to Vietnam. And I also grew up hearing that I was a mistake, that I'm an identical twin, and we weren't planned for. We were actually, it sounds like a very good trip to California, but that happened. And so I started out with a big hole in my soul, and I, at a young age, started filling that hole with food. I was the fat kid. I was a kid that was always last chose for the teams. I was, I think I got caught stealing candy for the first time when I was 4. So I was already having those behaviors at a very early age in life. I was always told that if I wanted dessert, which I loved, that kids were starving around the world and I had to eat everything on my plate. So I learned to eat more than I needed to satisfy me. I was also, along with this, a little bit of ADD. I couldn't settle down very well. And one of my memories that really are vivid to me is when I was in kindergarten, my twin brother and I used to be tied down at nap time so that we wouldn't bother the other kids. And sometimes I wonder why I'm screwed up. Then I went on to my mid-years, and I kind of got more control of my life, at least from the outside. In high school, I was in athletics, and my weight was okay just because I was working out, and I was basically, I probably was a bulimic, and I would eat what I wanted, but I just exercised so much that I kept my weight down. I learned how to really diet hard in wrestling, because I had to make weight, things like spitting in a cup to get your to weight away. I never purged from that perspective, but that's because I think nobody ever told me how to do it. Otherwise, I would have. Still didn't have that hole filled. Then I discovered alcohol when I was in I went to a Lutheran church school, and it was very rigid, which kind of went within my family. It was so rigid, we didn't have a prom, we had a banquet, because we didn't allow dancing. We did have a park behind the school, which we were told to go out and meditate with the people we cared about, and we had 6 pregnancies in a class of 65 in my senior year. And the pastor that recommended that was immediately terminated. Then I joined a fraternity, and when I was in college, and basically I tell people I majored in the 3 B's. That would be bridge, women — I don't use this old term anymore — and booze, and had a great time for a year, and then was asked by the university to join the service. It was during the Vietnam era, and they felt like I would do much better there, so I joined the Navy because I didn't want to sleep on the ground. And was again trying to control my life and do that. And of course, I chose to be a medic, and ended up going to Vietnam with the Marine Corps, which kind of was a hole in my plans. But that's where I really started the diet binge cycle. In the military, we had to make weight once every 6 months. And so, and we had to pass our PT test, which was, the Navy was pretty good. I think all we had to do was breathe. But so I would eat whatever I wanted, and then a month before it was time to do that, I would to weigh in, I would get on the latest fad diet and get down to my weight, which at that time was 248, which is, I think the military doesn't have it quite as easy as we did back then, and then go and process again and just continue this cycle of eating and binging. The behaviors got a lot worse after Vietnam. I went to Vietnam with the sense that I was going to die, and basically lived my life in Vietnam with that premise that I was really didn't have to worry about being responsible for anything. And discovered some drugs at that point in time, but didn't really get into them. But lived a life that was certainly nothing I would be proud of today. And when I came back from Vietnam, I think that I never been fully formally diagnosed, but I think I suffer from traumatic stress disorder from my time there, and dealt with that by overachieving. I wanted to be the best I could be, and therefore I just decided I was going to be a 4-0 sailor, is the term they use, but I was going to get great ratings and do that. And so any of my behaviors that I had, I hid very well at that point in time. I kept my weight down. At that point in time, I went to my first OA meeting. I went to the meeting, heard what they said, took the gray sheet or whatever the color sheet was at that time, and said, those guys are nuts, and I left. But that turned into the diet of choice for me, and it's actually much like Atkins or a high-protein diet, and that's how I would get my weight down that I needed to. I did pretty good at that. The military selected me for my education that I do now, and I got sent to a school, and there was like 2,400 applicants for 24 seats, and I got selected out of that. And so I basically tried to control everything, and that's where my disease took me. I also learned to run from my emotions. I basically was never in touch with myself that whole time, and never in touch with myself until I actually came to my first 12-step program. It was... I left the military after 13 years because I was mad at somebody. And so I basically, when I got out, I fully resigned. I didn't stay in the reserves. I threw away the opportunity to have a little bit extra money right now from retirement and health benefits. I went to work as a hospital administrator. And again, my controlling attitude worked very well for that. Did pretty good in it, but my weight didn't. I got up to 364 pounds during that process. I went to the Pritikin Longevity Center to lose weight. Worked well. I got down to about 225 and then got right back up again. And then I was going to a fundamental Christian church at that time and got a book called Love Hunger. And it was a good book. I started to, because of my isolation, and I, of course, nobody knew I was a compulsive overeater just because I weighed over 300 pounds. I started to do it in isolation myself, got very depressed, called up the Minuteman Meyer Clinic, said, you did this to me, you need to fix it, and spent 30 days in an inpatient psychiatric unit because of my depression. At that time, I came back to the community that I was living in. They suggested I go to ACOA because of my family history and because there was no OA in that part of Alaska. And so I went to that program. The problem was it was in the basement of the hospital that I ran. Not a lot of anonymity in that place. I went for about 6 months and decided that I didn't really need it and never ever recognized my powerlessness. I moved here. Actually, I moved to Walsenburg, where I was the CEO of the hospital there, and then was fired from that job. And fired because of exactly the disease. I was trying to control everybody around me and wasn't very nice about it, and I was in a new environment. The old hospital I ran, they got used to me, I think, and so, I left that and decided to come back to my career that I learned in the military and moved here to Denver. I was found a great group I'm with now, and met my wife, who was working in the clinic, and conned her into marrying me at the time. I don't think she knew I was as sick as I was. Then found OA again. And I don't know how many of you remember the OA clubhouse down on Colfax, but that was the meeting I was going to. And that lasted about 6 months. I did step one. And that's all I did. I never really did step one. I met with I found a sponsor. I met with him a couple times. And he was a good sponsor, but it was my program. It was my job to work it. And when I didn't work and I didn't call, that's where I was. And so I didn't, that's where my program ended. So I did about 6 months and decided I didn't need it because I was on the Atkins diet and I lost my weight. Well, I got down to about 225 and then I started gradually gaining it back. And for the next, that was probably 1995 or six, I'm not sure exactly when. At that point in time, I just kind of kept struggling with my weight. And then God works in mysterious ways. God kept bringing me to people that I needed to see. And I'm going to talk about a little bit of another program I go to just because it's part of my recovery, and I'm talking about my recovery story. And that's that I went to a therapist and was suggested that I go to Al-Anon. And it's interesting, when I think back about it, I think that my wife told me that she was going to divorce me if I didn't go to Al-Anon. But actually, as I thought back it again, it really wasn't, that was the story, it wasn't the story, that was my sick mind listening to that. But I thought it probably was a good idea, but wasn't sure if I really wanted to do it. And I had lunch with my best man from my wedding, and he was in Al-Anon. And so I went to his meeting, and he became my sponsor. And the reason I talk about that is because that's where I found my higher power. When I came into OA, I had a relationship with a higher power. And before I went to Al-Anon, I didn't like God very well. I was really mad at him. I had tried many different flavors of religion, and religion was not for me, and I still don't go to an organized church. But I was very, very angry at higher power, and or at least the higher power as I perceived him. And when I went to Al-Anon, I had good sponsor that helped me process through that. And so that was a year before I came here, and I've been in the program for 20 months now, actually 21. My birthday will be in the 5th of February. When I came here, I landed on my feet running because I had a higher power. And let me just tell you, the other thing is that where I found my powerlessness, the reason I came here is I was always a secret eater. My weight would go up, and I didn't think anybody was aware that I was not eating appropriately. And I was in the break room in my office, and there was a plate of food sitting in front of me of things that I shouldn't eat. I don't eat anymore. It's one of my binge foods. And in a conversation with a coworker, I ate everything on the plate, and it was a full plate. And I just knew that if I didn't do something, this disease was going to kill me because I was going to go right back where I was before. And at the time, I was a little bit over 300 pounds. I don't know exactly where I was when that happened. So I came and I was powerless, and I immediately got a sponsor. The first meeting I went to was the Thursday night meeting over in Smoky Hill, and there was no men in that meeting, and they suggested I go to the Saturday morning meeting on Yale. It wasn't Yale then, it was out by the... I went to that meeting and asked somebody to sponsor me, and that sponsor didn't work. This sponsor that believed in doing everything mostly verbally and not doing any writing and not working the steps from a written potential, and I realized when I first started with him that that wasn't going to work, and found a different sponsor that I'm doing now. But from that first day, I became abstinent, and I've been abstinent 21 months now. And that also, what happened to me with that abstinence, though, is I was still in my rigid thinking. So I was basically, my first year, I was on a Atkins-type eating plan, and very rigid to it. And I was really, even though I was working the steps and stuff, I was still in a diet club. The way I ate was the most important thing about what I was doing. And I lost 117 pounds in about a year. And that's way, in my opinion, way too much, way too fast. And I have a foot drop and a neuropathy on my right side from the neurologist that is probably due to too rapid a weight loss. So you can do it too fast. But I was blessed with a sponsor and going to meetings and doing work in the program that I was able to change my eating plan. I met with a nutritionist who gave me something much more healthy to eat, although I still can make it obsessive. I mean, I eat a lot of apples because they're easy and it keeps me going on where I want to do. But I need to, that's one of the things I need to go with. But basically that has gotten my eating plan okay, so it's not the major focus. But what I've learned in my abstinence is, my abstinence is not eating compulsively. My abstinence is I know now when I'm hungry because my body needs nutrition. It's been 6 hours since I've eaten. I don't get hungry an hour after I've eaten. I don't cruise. I shouldn't say never. I have cruised the grocery stores once or twice when I'm having a bad day, but I haven't succumbed to that cruising, and I that's not my normal lifestyle. So things have really picked up for me, and it's because of how I work my program. For today, I meditate every day. I read the literature every day. I pray every day. I go to 2 OA and 1 Al-Anon meetings a week, unless sometimes you miss one, but that's what I do. And I just basically try to work my program very, very hard and know that I have to surrender and be willing every day. My higher power is there. There was a thing I read today which was really kind of wonderful, and it was saying my higher power is there whether I know it or not. And I feel like when I came to this program, I came to this program because higher power was nudging me the whole way. If I had stayed in the military to retirement, I probably would have not gone into hospitals. If I hadn't gone into hospitals, I wouldn't have been where I was to experience what I did in Alaska and end up coming to Colorado. If I hadn't been in Colorado, I would not have changed jobs and gotten fired from one, but changed jobs and came to Denver. If I hadn't been in Denver, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have been introduced to 12-step. If I hadn't been in that, I would have never made the attempts with OA the first time and gotten into the programs I've got. So, for me, I don't think higher power has given me bad things to happen to me. I think that's my head and my ego that causes that. But I think higher power has been there to direct me the right direction for my recovery. The other thing is, higher power has really been with me this last few months is because we started with this foot drop, but I thought I had an MS, and thank God I don't. But I went to a neurologist to get checked for MS, and he did some MRIs and stuff and found a problem in my neck. And so I have a 75% squeezing of my spinal cord. And so I'm having surgery on the 10th of this month. And when I've turned it over, the fear is gone. And that's not how my life would have been previously. I would have been in the food because I was afraid, and being in the food and weighing over 300 pounds, this surgery would have been a lot more scary for me than it is in the shape I'm in now. Who knows how long I've had this stenosis? They just found it because of the workup I had for my leg. And I think, again, it's higher power that has put me in a place that I can sit that and sit there and sit in my emotions, recognize how I feel, and live with that. And in my past life before program, I had my head in the sand. I didn't recognize my emotions because I gave myself anesthesia with food. And so one day at a time, and with the grace of God, that's good. My recovery is going to stay here, and I'm going to be able to continue to live this program. The other thing I wanted to share, and this is my favorite book, by the way, is Abstinence. I picked up this book before my first meeting at a used bookstore. I saw it and I said, "Oh, that sounds interesting." And it was when I had decided to come to the program. But on page 148 of this book, it's called "Plugged Into Recovery," and this is a story from a woman that had been in the program since February 10th of 64. And she talks about, "I'd like to share some things, other things that recovery has taught to me." And it's kind of a checklist for me that I would like my program to be like. And I'm not saying my program's like this, but I'd like to share them with you all. And that's to be gentle with myself, I realize that I'm not bad if I stray or good if I abstain. To give up trying to control everything or everyone outside of myself. To become increasingly honest and open with at least one person, my sponsor. To accept myself exactly as I am without hiding, distorting, or rejecting any part of myself. To forgive myself and others. By blessing those who have harmed me, I find peace instead of resentment. To live a joyous, peaceful, fulfilled life, I must engage in a search for my inner strength that I now call God. That a power greater than myself is guiding my life, whether I recognize it or not. That every step has a principle, and I will be enriched by applying all the steps in my daily life. That the promises come true. That no one ever starves to death between meals. That to be on an amicable terms with my family is a God-given gift. That every meeting adds to the recovery. That I cannot do it alone. That half measures avail me nothing. That writing is an indispensable method of finding out what's amiss. And that I can live without fear. And for me, I look at the new year. I used to, the new year was a great time to go out and get drunk and in the morning with a hangover make a promise of something that I wasn't going to be able to do, which is stop eating and lose weight. And what it is now is a chance for me to look back at what I'm grateful for. And that's, I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for the people in these rooms. I'm grateful for the newcomer. I got a call from a newcomer on Thursday to check on me on how I was doing because I missed the Thursday night, that meeting. You know, and that was just a gift. And what I would like to do for myself is I'm going to work the steps with my sponsor again, one step a month. But there's two tools that I don't use ever, and that's the phone and writing. And so what I'm going to do is not say that I'm going to write every day or I'm going to pick up the phone every day because that's getting back to my compulsive behavior, but that I'm going to try those tools and see how they work for me. And so that's how my program works for me, is to look at things and ask higher power's advice and give them a try, and then higher power will tell me whether or not that's the way I need to go. And so just for the newcomer here, welcome. And it really does work. And I can tell you that this has saved my life, and I will be back every month, I hope. So thank you.